Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist 1045 service. We're so glad you're here. We're excited about this service and the Lord's presence today as we begin to worship Him. At the end of each pew, we have an attendance pad. We ask that everyone complete that and fill it out so we can know who's here worshiping and we can make sure we report accurate numbers to our local office. Terrific Tuesday returns this Tuesday, September 4th. Join us at 12 p.m. in the warehouse for a great meal and informative program. Please call the office tomorrow to reserve a spot. See bulletin for info. Will there be someone in the office tomorrow? No. Okay. Just if you want to go, please tell somebody you want to go so we get you on the list. There will be no one in the office tomorrow. But we'll if you want to be here at Terrific Tuesday, you come along. Next Sunday is the youth will be having a free car wash in the Northwest parking lot. Donations will be appreciated, and they will go to offset the expenses of the youth activities in the coming year. So there's a little insert in your bulletin about that this morning. So come prepared to have your car polished while you're in here worshiping next Sunday. Exciting time, October 14th. Hog on the Hill is back for a fourth year, and it's really going to be great with some new activities and introducing some new thoughts this year for Hog on the Hill. It is free, no admission this year. That's always a good thing to do. There will be a food truck this year, or food trucks. The silent auction is returning as well as special activities for the kids. So we'll have the silent auction and the activities. There will be individuals coming around to Sunday school classes to answer any questions that you might have over the next few weeks, and to also take orders on the exclusive Hog on the Hill t-shirt. Everybody will want to be able to get one of those. Another exciting activity as we enter the fall season is the Faith Family Dinners. They return in September, which is this Wednesday, in conjunction with our Wednesday evening Bible study. So if you'll be attending, on the announcement sections of the bulletin at the very bottom is a reservation slip for you and your family. Please tear that off and put that in the offering plate as it's passed later in this service. At this time, we ask that you enjoy each other and pass the peace of Christ as we begin our worship. Please stand and join me in the call to worship this morning. Let everyone who thirsts come and drink deeply. Here all who hunger may satisfy themselves freely. Here you may feast on the goodness of the Lord. Now those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Please remain standing and join us in All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, verse 1, 2, 4, and 6, number 154.
Jesus, save my angels, cross, take one. Before God, call your death, and crown him.
lift our lives in prayers to God this morning and enter a time of prayer. I lift the prayer requests that are listed in our bulletin. Charlie Ward Sr., Clifford Smith, Laura Stinnett, Annette Crawford, Dennis Rose, Mary Jane Patton, Hilda Parr, and Bobby Douglas. Please lift your hearts with me as we enter this prayer to our Lord and Savior. Loving Creator, we are so thankful to live in a country where we can worship you wherever, whenever, and however we desire, without fear of retribution from others. We sometimes take this freedom of worship for granted. Other countries around the world do not have such freedoms, and Christians are persecuted and even killed in your namesake. Today we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world and ask that you keep them safe as they praise and worship you this morning, no matter where they are. We also lift up to you a nation that is hurting. There are divisions among people, divisions in families, and even divisions in your church. Father, we humbly pray for your Holy Spirit to move in our nation, that a great revival would begin and draw all people to you. Let us be so bold as to begin that revival in our own hearts today as we seek your holy presence in this gathering. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, we've had a week of remembrance this week as we've laid those heroes to rest and those special entertainers to rest. Let us remember how blessed as a country, as a nation, as a people, as individuals we are, as we lift up this prayer to bless our morning offering. Father, you have blessed this country and its people with riches never seen by people in other countries. Make our giving hearts this morning and bless these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and join us in the hymn of meditation, Let Us Break Bread Together, number 618. Please be seated. And on this Labor Day weekend, we're going to claim God's promise, where two or more are gathered, He is there with us. Amen.
Amen.
The title in the bulletin for today's sermon, Garbage In, Garbage Out. I was almost questioned about that title this past week, so some of you will know what that term means. Some of you will not, so I'll explain it to you. As I was preparing for today's message, reading through the scripture brought to mind what my computer programming instructor used to say. You write a garbage program and you put it into the computer, what's it going to give you? It's going to give you garbage back. Therefore, garbage in, garbage out. Well, there's a little bit more probably of an understandable garbage in, garbage out person, and that's a professional athlete, much like a marathon runner or a professional triathlete. They are so particular about what they eat, when they eat it, and how much they eat. Everything they put into their body focuses on performance. If they put in the right stuff, they have a good race. But if they put garbage in, they have a garbage performance. As for me, I'm willing to accept a little less than perfect performance because I'm not giving up my ice cream. There are many other examples we could present this morning. We'll even see, if we think that this was just a term that has been around since the 70s and the 80s when computer programming started, nope, it hasn't. Because we're going to see in the scripture the Pharisees have been saying the same thing long ago. But Jesus gives evidence to the contrary. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I will invite you to turn to the book of Mark. Book of Mark. And we're going to be reading chapter 7, beginning in verse 1 through verse 8. And I'll be reading out of the New International Version this morning. And I just pray that these words of Mark, as they are found here, recorded through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will bless you this morning. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed.
The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" You have to let go of the commands of, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Another saying, you probably heard this one. It's better to be thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, we can see example after example after example in the scriptures where this phrase is so true when it comes to Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And this interaction with Jesus is no exception. The religious rulers had dispatched some Pharisees and some scribes, the recorders, the learned ones, from Bethlehem up to the Sea of Galilee to check on the news that they had been receiving from there. Now, normally, the Pharisees wouldn't give two hoots about what was going on up in the northern region around the Sea of Galilee, because it was the region where the half-Jews lived. You see, that was the region north of the sea where even farther north, northern tribes had come in and intermarried with the Jewish people. Therefore, in the Pharisees' mind, creating lesser Jews. They didn't consider them 100% Jewish, so they didn't pay them much mind. On this occasion, they decided, the Pharisees and the scribes, to do a little open mouth, insert foot. First, let's just examine just for a moment the Pharisees. We've heard about them many times over, but let's just look at them. They were the religious experts of the day. They knew by heart the books of Moses, the Torah, and they knew the prophets. They believed in the afterlife. They looked forward to the Messiah coming and setting up his kingdom here on earth. The problem was they were blinded. They were blinded by their own religious elitism. They were the self-proclaimed experts. And in their eyes, if you weren't one of them, you were beneath them. I'm very careful in saying what I'm getting ready to say. Do you think that we have any religious leaders that may fit in this category today? Now, please, I'm not proposing that we begin to judge other programs or other preachers or other churches. But like the Pharisees, I think we all need to be reminded to be careful and to remember nobody is above the teacher. When we read scripture, and even in the Old Testament, we don't need to bend the words to meet our needs. Instead, we would do better to change our behavior to meet God's word. You see, the Pharisees were like this. They would bend the prophets and they would bend the words of Moses to meet their needs. When they were in public places, they went into religious overdrive, ceremonially washing cups, washing plates, washing pitchers, washing hands, etc., 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 all for for show. So when they saw the disciples eating without going through all of the ceremonially washing before eating, they decided to open mouth, insert foot, or in some cases, open mouth, change feet. They posed the question directly to Jesus, and you can just hear them with their nose stuck way in the air. Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? Well, Jesus didn't hold back. He let them have it with both barrels. You'd think after calling their bluff, they would have just turned and quietly left the marketplace. But as Jesus usually did with the Pharisees, if you notice, every single time, he used the words of the prophets or the words of Moses against them. The people in the marketplace surrounding them not only saw this, they heard it. Jesus said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Right about now, if I was a Pharisee, I'd be calling an emergency meeting to review the scrolls of the prophet Isaiah to see what Jesus was talking about. But Jesus didn't give them the time, and he didn't give them the opportunity, as he quoted the prophet himself saying, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Then he spoke to them in his own words, saying, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Jesus was basically telling them in so many words that they had left the original intent of what God the Father had when he gave the commandments and the laws. The religious elite had added so many additional laws and traditions to them, it was virtually impossible for anybody to keep them. And Jesus knew it. But what better way to send the Pharisees back to Jerusalem with their tail tucked between their legs than to use the words of the prophet Isaiah, the ones that they should have known, against them? This is the whole contrast of what happened in the marketplace at Gennesaret that day. The Pharisees were worried about being ceremonially clean before eating. They saw the disciples with unwashed hands, therefore they were putting unclean food into their bodies. That was their whole argument. That was it. The disciples were now defiled by eating food made unclean by their unclean hands. They were so worried about an unclean body. Conversely, Jesus was not concerned with a body that is eventually going to wear out. What Jesus' main concern is the heart of his disciples. Jesus told the crowd around him, it wasn't what goes into a man and a woman that defiles them, but what comes out of them that does so. And then, when he is in a place alone with his disciples, as he always did, he explained to his disciples what the parables mean and what he had just said in public. And as you might guess, once again, the disciples failed to understand. In verse 18, if you read on and you get to verse 18, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Are you so dull?" They just didn't get it, and Jesus was astonished at their lack of understanding. Even after they had just heard Jesus tell the crowd that what comes out of a man and a woman is what defiles them. Jesus then fully explained what he meant by telling the disciples, What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. The words of Jesus. So this morning, I ask all of us, what kind of garbage are we putting into our body? And now, when I say that, I mean into our hearts and minds. When Jesus said that nothing a person puts into their body food-wise defiles a person, he was declaring all foods clean. And we know that. It says it in the scriptures. But where does this other stuff that comes out of us, where does it come from? Well, I think we all need to evaluate and take note of a few things, like what are we watching on TV? Or what are we reading in books and in magazines or on the internet? These are the things that go into our minds and into our hearts. And when we fill up our hearts and our minds with things we know that shouldn't go in there, they can't help but come out at some point. We see it all around us in our world today. I'm certainly not proposing that we lock ourselves in a room and isolate our hearts and minds from things we know won't do us any good and just stop going into the world. This is not our world. This is not our home, but we must be in it. My question this morning is this, then: how much good spiritual food are we putting into our hearts and minds? If we put garbage in, we can't help but get garbage out. It's all that's in there. But if we put God's word in, we have it there when we need to pull it out. I know many of you, if not all of you, this last week were hearing stories about Senator John McCain. And I heard one that impressed me. It was when he was in the POW camp, commonly called the Hanoi Hilton. One Christmas Eve, the head of that POW camp allowed all of the prisoners to come out of their individual cells and see each other face to face and to celebrate the holiday. The report was that they sang Christmas carols, and they smiled, and they recited scripture that they could remember. What a wonderful, wonderful time that was for them. Let me ask you, what if, just like our brothers and sisters in Christ in China and those POWs, what if we had to give up our Bibles? How much scripture would we remember? You and I need to spend more time putting God's good food into our hearts. If we truly want to perform like an elite spiritual athlete and be at our best, we need to put in good spiritual nourishment. I have to admit, there are some in this church that can quote scripture a lot better than I can. And I have told the story before about Stone Soup, about a lady that was homeless that came in there, and we were talking, and she was reciting scripture after scripture after scripture. It was just bubbling out of her. It was truly amazing. Well, the only way that we can do that is when we spend time in God's Word. This week, let's set a goal or promise God that we're going to spend more time, a few more minutes each day in His Word, and not putting garbage in to only get garbage out. Let's put God's word in, because there will be someone placed in our life and in our path who need to hear exactly what God has placed in our hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to turn to page 12 as we begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for Holy Communion. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us enter into the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of suffering, death, and resurrection. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make for them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the world, for the world, the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, Father, now and forever. Amen. This table is not a United Methodist Church table. This is Christ's table, and he invites everyone to come. It is an open table. We will have an offering plate in the center aisle. This is for our community assistance fund, for those that come to the church seeking assistance and help. We will also have gluten-free wafer. If you desire to have that, if you have that need, then please just tell the server that you would like that when you come forward. Let us enter into a time now that we receive this holy sacrament. Father, we thank you so much for meeting with us this morning. As we partook into our bodies, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, Father, help the goodness that goes into us, comes out of us,
to touch lives of other people. May we never forget that. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 600, The Wonderful Words of Life. If there's anyone in this church that would like to come forward and join this church by whatever means is appropriate, now's the time for you to come forward, or if you would like to spend additional time at our prayer rail, it is always open for you to do so. Please stand and sing hymn number 600. So glad we had the opportunity to worship and to praise our risen Savior today. Even on this holiday weekend, it's still good to be in the house of the Lord. Would you please receive this blessing? Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your peace, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Son. Without his sacrifice, we would be lost. Father, bless your people today. And until we can all come back together again, watch over them. Give them peace. Give them safety. Give them the words that you would have them to speak to touch a world that needs you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.